Beginning in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the Rain Report, the weekly ham radio audio production of the Radio Amateur Information Network. Rain's founder, producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, considers this week's Rain rerun from 1990 a real gem. It's one of those very rare talks Hap recorded on site at a radio club. Here's part one of My Early Days as a Ham by former Chicago and current LA broadcaster Dick Helton, W9CTY.
The following is part one of a two-part talk given by Dick Helton, W9CTY, for the North Shore Radio Club, Highland Park, Illinois. Helton was introduced by Reese Black, K9TOL.
The speaker that we have this evening is Dick Helton. Afternoon news anchor for WBBM News Radio 78 has been fascinated by radio since childhood and broke into broadcasting in the 60s while studying journalism at the University of Illinois. These days at WBBM News Radio, Helton is known as a versatile professional journalist with an adversity to controversy. His weekday interviews explore subjects ranging from politics to entertainment, and he regularly hosts three of the station's most provocative call-in programs, Ask the Governor, Ask the Mayor, and Talk to the Schools. There's much more here. It tells you all about all his amateur radio, but I'm not going to let you. He sit there, fall asleep on me, and be asleep when he comes up to talk. Mr. Helton.
Thank you. I really do appreciate the opportunity to come here and to meet with all of you tonight. And when Dave Alpert called me several weeks ago, asking if I would come and talk to you all tonight, I said, gee, that's terrific. I'd be very happy to do so if it would work into the schedule. And as it turns out, it did. It's rare, being someone on the radio such as myself, that I get an opportunity to actually see the audience. So it's kind of nice for me to be able to do that. When I walked in tonight, Mike Wolf over here, who is apparently quite a listener of WBBM, walked up and he said, gee, you don't look a thing like you sound. And of course I said I never did. But it reminds me a little bit of the fact that those of us who are in radio, whether it's in ham radio or if we're in professional radio or whatever, to some extent, we aren't maybe who other people think we are. That's one of the great joys of ham radio, I think, is the fact that you can really sort of be anonymous to that other person. You can open up your personality. You can enjoy who you are. You can enjoy the other people that you're talking with. And yet there's a little shield. Now, the real truth of the matter, of course, comes out when you have meetings like this, and when you become involved in clubs. And then you get the opportunity to see this person that you maybe have talked with for quite a period of time. And that person doesn't look anything like you expected. But that's the joy of it. Because you know that person. You know that personality. And you know perhaps a great deal more about that individual than you might have known had you met on a face-on-face basis to begin with. I told Dave that I would talk a little bit about ham radio and professional broadcasting and how this all sort of came together for me. And to some extent, my career in broadcasting is a little bit like the old Ted Baxter role on the old Mary Tyler Moore show. It all started at a little 250-watt radio station. In my case, it really began in the basement of our family home down in a little town called Brockton, Illinois, which is about 200 miles south of here. Population 300. I graduated in a high school class that had 16 kids in it, as a matter of fact. But my dad had a great joy for listening to shortwave. And when I was a little kid, about 6 years of age, I'd go down into the basement of our home, and he had a Hallicrafters S40B. Now, some of you here will remember an S40B. In fact, some of you here will remember the name Hallicrafters. Be that as it may, that little radio opened up for me a wonderful world of things that went far beyond my little town of Brockton. I could listen to the radio shows that were available through the networks and the various broadcasts that came out of Chicago and New York and other places. But also, I had a chance to listen to people who were in faraway places. And for a kid that was basically a farm kid in a small town in East Central Illinois, that to me was fascinating. And it made me want to know more about who these people were and we'd tune in to the hams, and we'd listen to them. Of course, it was all AM back then. But we'd listen to these conversations going on between people in New York and Los Angeles, or somebody maybe in New York talking to someone in Europe someplace. And I thought, what a terrific thing this is. I mean, here you have this opportunity to talk to somebody far away and to get to know that person on a one-on-one basis. Well, as it turns out, over a long period of time, I became involved with other things, and my dad had the farming operation going. And when you're farmers, you don't have a lot of time maybe to devote your attention to some of the other things that you would like. But when I was a sophomore in high school, my dad, who had always wanted to get that ham license for himself but had never found the time to do it, came up to me and he said, Dick, I'll make you a proposition. He said, if you study for and you get a ham license, he says, I'll help you build a pretty good ham radio station. Well, I said, okay. I mean, after all, when you're a kid on a farm and the next house is a mile away and it's the dead of winter, you don't have a whole lot to occupy your time. So I checked around a little bit, and I found a fellow in a town about 15 miles from me who was a ham. His name was Dick England. His call was K9HQF. And I called him up one night, and I introduced myself, and I said, I want to become a ham radio operator. Dick said, hey, come on down. I'll teach you everything you need to know. Now, I should tell you a little bit about Dick. Dick was the janitor at the high school in this other little town. He was in his 30s. He was raising a couple of kids on his own. Probably had more things going on in his life just to try to make ends meet on a day-to-day basis than most people that I knew. And yet there was no hesitation whatsoever. He said, come on, I'll teach you. And so in the winter of 1960 into 1961, I spent a lot of time at Dick's house. I'd drive down a couple of nights a week to his home in the winter. Slippery roads, ice, snow. My mother wondered if this, in fact, was all worthwhile for her kid to be out there on the highways having his life threatened with the bad weather. But I assured her that it was. Dick was the kind of guy that when I walked into his home and I met him, I knew that this was the hobby for me. I wanted to be like him. I wanted to have the kind of warmth that he had to bring me into that fold. I have to tell you a little bit about his radio station. Dick always said he was broadcasting from the throne room. In fact, he was. Dick's station was in the second floor bathroom of his house. And I learned the code and the theory sitting on the only other available seat in that room. I may be unique in all the world of having learned the code and the theory sitting on the John. But I did.
You're listening to a January 1990 talk by broadcaster Dick Helton, W9CTY, one of the gems from the RAIN archive. Dick will resume his presentation in a moment. This is the RAIN Report.
Finally, it came to that point where he said, I think you're ready. So he called another fellow in another town and said, I've got a kid over here. He's in high school, and I've been teaching him the code and the theory, and I think he's ready. And I want you to give him the exam. Now, back then, as far away as I live from Chicago, I qualified for what was then the conditional exam. Voluntary exams then were the exception, frankly, not the rule. But we went over to this guy's house one night, and there I sat. I mean, this was the moment of truth. And we've all been confronted with that. Your mind turns to mush. Your hand is just about as effective as mush on the key. And you think, what am I doing here? But for some strange, unbelievable reason, I passed this test. And about 6 weeks later, came that little envelope, the little glass window from the FCC. And there I was, W9CTY, conditional license. Never forget it. 16th day of June, 1961. Now, in the middle of June, on a farm, there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, you're out getting weeds out of the beans and trying to do the corn and whatever. My dad said, we've got to go to Indianapolis. We got to buy some radios. because he was just as thrilled over this as I was. And so we dropped everything we were doing, and we hopped in the car, took the hired man with us, and drove to Indianapolis, about 100 miles away, and we came home with an HT-37, a Drake 2B receiver, a bunch of copper weld wire, sack full of insulators, a JT-30 mic, and Dick came up, and we began to assemble a ham radio station in my bedroom. And we worked on that for a couple of days. Didn't manage to burn anything up, popped a couple of fuses, and we got on the air. And I can tell you, as everybody in this room who's a ham radio operator, the thrill of the first contact from my radio station in my bedroom going out to somebody else was unbelievable. The man's name was Shorty. His call was W9IBI. He lived in Mattoon, Illinois, just about 30 miles away. But it could have been Siberia, for all I knew, because it was the most dramatic, wonderful thing that I could imagine. And of course, as you can imagine, the rest of that summer was, ham radio around the clock. And, it finally got to the point where I can remember my parents beating on the wall between my bedroom and theirs at about 2 o'clock in the morning, saying, my dad used to say, shut that not darn thing off. But he finally got to the point where he grew a little bit tired of ham radio himself. But it was terrific, and it was a proud moment for me. But a prouder moment came for me a few years later when I was in college at the University of Illinois in Champaign. And our home was about 40 miles from Champaign. And I had all this ham radio gear sitting in my bedroom down on the farm, nobody using it. So I called my dad one day from my dorm room, and I said, Dad, I said, here's what we're going to do. I'll give up my college weekends, and I'll come home. I'm going to teach you the theory and the code. I want you to get a license. Well, at that time, my dad was about 44 years old. Then it seemed old. Today, it's nothing. But I said, I'll do this. And he said, let's try it.